I mean, I think everybody's fine. Zach, say one more thing for me.
One more thing.
Ronnie, say two more things for me.
Two more things for me.
Ronnie would have the softest voice. It's because he's prepubescent.
Two more things for me.
Please talk like that the entire time.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Ronnie, and I'm a guest on your podcast.
I'm the resident idiot of the show.
I don't know. That's a highly contested spot.
And music. And music over. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. Zach Beck, Zach Jenkins, Ronald St. Devereaux.
Yes, sir.
Is that what you want to be called this episode?
Yeah.
Or St. Ronnie.
I was going to go for like Ronald Zach Devereaux.
Ronald Zach Devereaux.
But
he wants to be a part of the Zachs.
Yeah.
RZD would be dope initially.
That's a sick name.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to get into some stuff here real quick. But prior to recording, we were talking about generating revenue and the fact
that we don't.
Yeah. That both the podcast and Ronnie are net negative. Ronnie's not net negative. The podcast is net negative. Ronnie just doesn't generate enough income to sponsor the podcast.
Right.
And so basically that needs to change. He needs to make money so we can make money.
Mm.
And then we brought up our merch, and I was telling the story about how two people who, you know, I'm fairly close with, Joe and Joe.
The Joes.
Not Joe Vogt. He's a real one. But they were like, they saw me with a podcast shirt on, and they were like, I didn't know you had shirts. And I was like, clearly you don't listen to the episode the whole way through.
Because we mention it at the end of every episode.
At the end of every episode. So we're going to mention it at the beginning of this episode. We got an Etsy store open.
No way.
Just,
we got six shirts.
We got
sick, not six.
Yes.
We have,
there's a lot more than six.
We have six units of inventory.
Arguably too many. T-shirts, crew neck sweatshirts,
hoodies.
Woo. There are baby onesies that I haven't published because no one's wearing one before my child wears one.
You're like, and my kid gets it first.
I actually do have a baby onesie here that I already bought the sample of.
That's awesome.
No, show anyway. That's gonna be his coming home outfit. I don't know if Lexi knows it yet, but it is. So yeah,
executive decision.
There's a link in every episode. You just click it to the store. If it doesn't work, then you go to my website and then go to the store. It's easy.
So easy.
So easy.
Also, just like, follow, and subscribe.
No, we're beyond that. I need money.
I need money.
Click the bell for notifications. I don't know if what services, you know.
We're getting there on YouTube. I'm working on the backlog.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's our outro as the intro, but we're still going to do it as the outro too because we're extra.
Yep.
Okay, so the last time Ronnie was on the episode was before Zach was a co-host.
That's true.
Was the two very first recordings we ever did. He actually was a part of the three very first recordings.
Right.
If you remember.
Yeah.
So you were...
Did one get scrapped?
One got scrapped for...
The original Pick 2, which for came out. Would You Rather, which came out. And then one that was supposed to be about AI, which I still have the raw file in DaVinci, like ready to go I ever feel like editing it.
Uh-huh.
It's just... It wasn't great.
No. It's just a bunch of... Three ignorant dudes talking about things they know nothing about.
Yep.
Which kind of sums up today's episode.
Okay, no. Hold on a second. Because today we're talking about like worship and excellence and the place in the church. And one, we're not ignorant about it. Two,
we're all very involved.
We know a lot about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm happy that Ronnie finally carved out some time. He's a very busy person. He produces music. And writes music and plays music.
Very talented musician.
Yeah.
Producer.
Mm, thank you.
Yeah. Like,
I've heard some of your stuff.
No, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Right on.
I mean, his newest project you'll be able to listen to March?
March.
Not March 1st?
First? The first Friday in March.
The first Friday in March. But yeah, he's just super talented and super fun. and I want to be Ronnie when I grow up.
Mm. I'll pray for you. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. He doesn't like being talked about. His throat is actually red from where he was just scratching because he was so nervous. So I'll stop embarrassing him because I need his brain to be on point for this episode.
Well, you talked and now about I'll my, start. I'm just kidding.
My mom's intro was like a full 20 minutes when she was on the podcast.
She's cooler than you
are. That's fair. That's fair. So I guess my
And
my
she three supplied minutes. Me with a bio. You said, I don't really like to talk about myself. That is... So. Is I have the text. I will publish the text with this episode.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. Touche.
Yeah. And when your mother was on, Lori, guys, Seeing Through the Darkness, that episode is the most listened to episode we have. Keep listening to it and sharing it. Mm.
It's also international. It's in multiple countries.
It is.
Listens. So it's a fantastic episode.
It wasn't recording in that episode, but she did pick her favorite child. So now I'm going to ask Ronnie to pick his favorite parent. And I am recording.
On record.
On record.
Mm. That's a tough one. I feel like my dad won't listen to this podcast. So
so you can just say, Mom, guess you won't get offended. No. You won't listen to it.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'll go with that.
You have to say it.
I said it.
No, you said, my dad won't listen to this podcast.
And then he let me say it for
him. No, yeah. I need him to say
so,
it.
No, it's,
we got to listen.
Say it.
My mother.
Father.
I'm just going to do one giant bleep through that whole section, and people have no idea what you said.
Mm.
So, yeah, Ronnie kind of helped pick today's topic.
Yeah.
And let's rock and roll.
Let's rock and roll.
I think Zach wants to do a little background, though. So, Zach.
Oh, well, yeah. I was going to say kind of what we're talking about today is worship and kind of the heart of excellence in worship, especially that we would like to see as musicians, as people that have been involved in worship for, you know, some time. So with that, Ronnie, can you give us a little bit of your background?
Yeah.
In music and playing worship, kind of.
Sure. Yeah. I grew up in church. As you guys both know, and I've been, my parents are always super involved. We had a home church for a while at our house. And so church was kind of just like part of life. And I've been involved in worship for also a very long time since I started playing guitar at like eight or nine. And then shortly thereafter, once I was able to play chords and do whatever, we would go and like with my siblings, we'd go play at like nursing homes or whatever when and lead worship there and like various student places, and then got involved in leading worship at church and playing guitar for services, all those things. And so it's been a while. Most of my conscious life I've been involved in worship in some aspect. And so I've seen a lot, I've been to a lot of churches, and it's sort of a burden that the Lord's put on my heart of wanting to develop a culture of excellence in worship, not to be flashy or to say that anything about us, rather, but to say it all about like who God is. Nice.
So you play guitar. Is that all you play? Do you play other instruments?
I play mostly guitar, electric, acoustic. I play bass too. I play enough piano to get by, not to say I'm a piano player. And I used to play drums when I was a kid, but
do you remember that one time you came to our church to play guitar and our drummer didn't show up? So with no practice, Ronnie got behind the kit and played a Sunday service.
Oh wow.
that was a good time.
That is not easy.
It was not, but
it was sick.
It was a good time. We should do that again. So if you ever call out,
he's like, no drums, all right. I'll hop on, see what I can do.
Well, my dad's a drummer, and so grew up with the drum kit around, and so I just played it when I was a kid, and played in high school. And so I was probably in high school when that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Time flies.
It really does. That's wild. Yeah, because Jamie was still the worship director.
Mm. Rest in peace.
Jamie's not dead.
He's not dead. He's just
he's still a worship director.
He's alive. He's a worship director at another church.
He's just gone.
You're in a band with him. You can't tell say he's just gone.
That's fair.
You don't release music, but I also hear rest in peace.
Well, yeah, we're kind of. We'll talk about that in the next episode.
Oh God, do I have to cut all this?
No, it's like
the band broke up.
The band didn't break up. We're not like the Beatles.
Okay, so where are we starting? What are we doing? We got Ronnie's background. Zach and I have said our backgrounds in previous episodes of
music,
just music, and, yeah. and worship. And I think I don't know if I've said it, but the only relevant thing I have to my history in worship is that my very first time playing on a worship team was an Easter Sunday.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a big leap.
Yeah, it's a big jump.
And not only was it my first time playing on a worship team, I had actually lied about my credentials and my bass playing to Jamie, because he's like, you play bass, right? And I was like, yeah, man. But I had only memorized Metallica songs up to that point. I didn't actually know how to play.
No.
So he's up there on stage, and they're singing How Great Is Our God, and he's playing a Metallica.
So, like, he got me the songs for Easter, and I was like, perfect, I'm just going to memorize them. And then, like, I don't think it was the week before, maybe 2 weeks before, he's like, oh, yeah, I sent one of the songs wrong. It, like, that's not the song. It's not Your Name Is Glorious, it's He Is Glorious. So this is the song we're doing, and I was like, I just spent weeks memorizing this song that we're never going to play again.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. So it was rough. I mean, I didn't play bad, but I just played, like, single hits the entire time.
Yeah, bass playing.
But so like I got by, and people were like, "Oh, you sounded great," and I was like, "Oh my gosh, thank you!" And now I look back,
like,
at it,
I was just glad that was miserable.
But hey, it got me to where I am.
Praise God.
So, you were Sharon that you got.
No, he's
on...
always been Ronnie. He's never been Sharon.
Hmm.
So, you were sharing that God kind of put on your heart this thing to look for or pursue, you know, excellence in worship. So, is there something that happened or a certain moment where you felt that kind of burden come on going, wow, like, I kind of want to see if there was that moment, and then I want to jump into later, like, why is it important? But was there, what was the kind of catalyst that put that on your heart or in your mind to, like, man, I really want to pursue excellence in doing worship?
It definitely was not always the case. I think it, because, like, I was involved in a church where I was pretty young and, like, pretty involved, but the level of musicianship and, like, that pursuit of excellence definitely wasn't a big part of my life at that point. Like, I was just there. I was volunteering, just part of my life, having a good time, all those things. But I think as I developed the gift of like developing the skill and seeing that grow and then surrounding myself with people who are also developing their skills and pushing their limits and just being like-minded in that pursuit. I think that's where it started, and definitely in going to a new church. I started going to Redemption around 5 years ago, and that sort of all started to change the way I viewed everything about worship, because, like, yeah, I would be blessing the team by being there, but they had a guitarist already, so they didn't need me out of necessity, you know? Yeah. It was rather, I get to do this rather than I have to, you know?
Yeah.
And that sort of change in mentality really changed the way I viewed the whole thing, because it was never of I get to or like a privilege. It was always just like, oh,
They need a guitar.
Another Sunday, here we go, type thing.
Yeah, you were just, you were playing for, out of, like you said, out of necessity.
Yeah, and to fill the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you change churches, I mean, who you serve under makes
absolutely
a big difference. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what church you were at before Redemption or mm-hmm. whatever like that, but serving under that current worship director,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's...
That was huge for me. Like, I started going when I was, what, 16? And, you know, you're a teenager, your life is full of emotions.
An angsty teen.
and all the things. And so having leadership that is solid and wanting to invest in you and grow those talents, but also grow and like see fruit in your own personal life is super huge. I have the privilege to be under Stephen Musso as my worship leader. And yeah, it's been, that's also a desire of his heart, and seeing that and cultivating a worship atmosphere of the absolute best we can give and always giving better, you know, because of who God is. And I'll go into that more later. But yeah, I would say that all started to shift about those years when I was transitioning to the new church and like graduating high school and trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life and all those things, and starting to get into making music and producing and mixing and all the different nitty gritty things, when you get to see all the details of everything unfolding and being like, oh my gosh, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that can be so, because if you get all these tiny details down to the science and like perfect, then the whole project is going to be amazing. And so wanting to see all that unfold and just see the whole process glorify God rather than just, you know, show up and be like, okay, Holy Spirit, we're here.
I can play some chords. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Or not even show up with that mentality.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead of where
you're good, man.
But, like, I know you had brought up to Zach when I was setting up a little bit about, you know, the difference between having servants from the church with a Christian background as musicians and singers versus contracting out musicians just mm-hmm. to play. Because although, you know, if you're not Christian or whatever, it might sound like the same thing, but there is a difference between just playing something.
Right.
And then worshiping something while you're playing.
Yeah. 100%. I think, we are going to jump ahead to what I was going to talk about, but
how many notebooks do you have?
I have a little notebook and a big notebook.
That's awesome.
And then a book.
And then a book.
To quote.
Yes. But I'm going to rip Steve's message. Steve preached this past Sunday, and he talked about something similar, so I'm going to rip a lot of what he said. Sorry, Steve, but...
Hey,
you're, no, don't be sorry.
You're giving him a shout out. It's not plagiarism.
It's the Bible, so.
Oh, well.
It's
sorry,
all.
Sorry, Jesus.
It's all been said before. But basically, what he was talking about was the parable of the talents. And often we talk about that in like the financial standpoint, which is super important. But what's incredible about the Word of God is that there's so many different layers and different meanings. And so taking the financial part aside, if you look at it as the word talent being a one-for-one translation to like, and you can trace the word, it's a similar root word, but talents as to like are what the Lord has given us.
Like gifting.
Exactly.
Abilities, skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so much in... Oh, I'm skipping ahead of myself. But the master in the parable gave each servant talents according to his own ability, right? Yeah. But one thing I love that Steve said was that nowhere in that scripture, he gave three talents, he gave two, he gave five, three, some, and then he gave one. He never gave zero.
That's cool.
So
that's a good point.
Yeah, there. If you are in the body of Christ, it is unbiblical to say that you don't have talent, that you're ungifted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree with that.
I do too.
Which was super inspiring.
But I think there's something to be said that, like, you can have a gifting but not be talented in using that gift, but the talent will come. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like I like looking at it that way too.
Let's talk about that. So just because you are talented does not mean that God is 100% going to use that talent right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talent is the natural God-given ability to develop skill in a certain area. And we go throughout the whole Bible. There's, as we just said, everybody has God-given talents, but God only uses the skillful. And then we go back and we talk about the temple being built by Bezalel and Oholiab, the people who are the most skilled craftsmen in the nation. God brings them together and then gives them the instruction, puts his spirit upon them in order to build his house, right? And then same thing with David and with Solomon. You know, the Lord, David was talking about building the temple when he's approaching his death, and Solomon's going to build it, but he's still a kid. He's not ready yet. He has talent, but his skill is not yet developed. Mm-hmm. So he needs to put the measures in order for him to develop that skill, right? And so taking that and looking at in our modern times, yes, when I was 12 years old, I had the talent of playing guitar. When I was 15, same thing. But I was still in the process of developing that into a skill. And then as you develop it into a skill, then the Lord will use that and then release his anointing through that.
Yeah. And something that you still have to put effort and work towards to build it.
100%.
You know, it's like put it into a sports context, right? Like Kobe Bryant was a very talented basketball player, but he still worked his butt off to become what he was as one of the greats.
Yeah.
So
you still have to. And it didn't stop once he got there.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. The big point that Steve said was, so to develop skill, you need to submit your talent to man. And then to produce anointing, you need to submit your skill to God. And that blew my mind.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I like it.
So you should go listen to the message. It's great.
Where can I listen to the message?
You can listen to the message on YouTube. I think it's under Redemption Church.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I will.
But yeah, that summed up like such a burning in my heart to see, because especially up here, you know, church culture is super weird with the whole, oh, church looks like a production, you know, rather than authentic worship. And I think there's a fine line, but it's really about your heart. And if we want to serve the Lord the best we can, then serving him out of the absolute best skill that we can cultivate.
Yeah.
I think that's really the heart of where we should be going.
Yeah. There's like a minor rabbit trail I'll take because of what you said about just the church culture in upstate New York, yeah, at least in the capital region where we are.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking up the other day how many churches there actually are in the capital region. And like, it's an absurd amount of churches. Mm-hmm. It's wild. And I know nothing about 90% of them.
Yeah.
But I was talking to our worship director. And, you know, one big thing at our church at Redeeming Love is just you don't talk bad about other churches. Like, if you don't 100%. Disagree, theology, whatever, you know, it's not a us versus them. It's we're working together to further the kingdom of God.
We don't tear each other
down. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's churches up here, like you said, that get accused of doing things for production. But I started looking at it as just because that's not the church for me.
Yeah.
Like, there are people that go to those churches and get something from it. Mm-hmm. And, like, there are churches out there for different periods in people's life too sometimes. You know, there's great churches that appeal to thousands upon thousands of people,
yeah,
whether it's through worship or the message. And, you know, to get a base knowledge. And then, you know, once you understand the Bible and you decide, well, maybe I want to learn more in like in a different way, then there's other churches too that you could visit.
100%.
You know, I'm not saying hop around from church to church. You should find a home church and get plugged in and all that stuff. But I just wanted to speak to that kind of culture you were talking about up here.
I do think that it is a big, like everything you said was 100% correct. And
thank you.
And that even just because your church is being accused of being a production doesn't mean that they're doing it wrong. You know?
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
It's a tool of evangelism, really. Like, if a church has all the lights and the smoke and the big subs and all the things that, you know, we associate with a concert venue, then people are going to come.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tool. Yeah. I'm not saying it's the tool for everybody, like you said.
Right.
But so much we get obsessed with pointing fingers and looking down our nose at other churches who we think are doing it wrong. But even, like, our church can get accused of being a production because we use click and track, you know? Mm. You're never going to please everybody. And so I think when you're not worried about pleasing people, when you're worried about pleasing the heart of God, then that's right where you should be, you know? And that's going to look different for everybody. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually interesting that we're talking about this, because this past week I actually saw a reel of this person that I guess was kind of raised in the church, walked away from God, and now, you know, accuses the church of a lot of different things. Mm. But they were accusing the church of that thing, like, oh, it's scripted, it's a production, all this stuff, which I think this is probably where we'll end up going with this. But just because something is excellent and you put effort into it does not mean that it's fake when it comes to religion. Like, the fact that you can have people that are on a professional level in their musicianship, the fact that you can have people on your sound team and your production team that are on a professional level or skilled level, or that you have the lights and the stuff, doesn't mean that there's any lack of authenticity.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it just means that, as I'm guessing we're going to go, that the people actually want to invest their time, their effort, their energy into it for the glory of the Lord and for the Lord to be able to use it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that should be a mark of authenticity, going like,
we're called,
like,
to bring our best.
Yeah.
You know, if Ronnie, just to use you as an example, because you're such a fantastic musician.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're so welcome. And you know what? I'm not even going to talk about music. I want to talk about your music production skills, because it's something you shared with me that the Lord's put on your heart to give local churches a platform to release music. And it's something you are going to help our church with. Now, if you were to say, I got this high profile client and they're going to give me so much more money and I'm going to give them 90% of my time, but then this little side project I have for Redeeming Love, I could do an okay job at that and get it done in a weekend if I really had to, and just to get it out there.
Yeah.
You're not doing your best. You're not, like, that production value isn't going to be there.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, one of the tracks you showed me for your upcoming production of Steve and Hannah's album coming out has just, like, a wild amount of tracks. And I remember I was like, there's no way that one little 2 second, 3 second clip makes a difference. And he played the track with it and without it. And I was like,
you're like, wow.
And it's because you really do your best. And yeah, that's production. You know, maybe the song didn't need that. Maybe that little part doesn't glorify God.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, the whole thing glorifies God, and you're doing your best for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would argue that since we are creating art for God, it should be, of course, this is idealized standards, but it should be the best that the culture sees.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because we need to separate ourselves from the rest of everybody. And like we see this in, we're just now getting out of this phase, I think, of Christian media, but in shows, in movies, it's not controversial for me to say that most of the Christian shows and movies are bad.
Yeah. Are not up to par as far as...
Yes.
Production, okay. Writing.
Exactly, yeah.
I was confused when you said bad.
Bad as in, I watched them and...
Corny, cheesy.
Yeah, like, and it's not like, I'm not invested in this as an artistic experience.
That's a great way to put it.
You know? And that just breaks my heart because we're... This is for the creator of the universe that we're doing this. This is our worship towards him. And so why are we cutting corners with our budget and trying to just get something out? And oftentimes it's for like just for profit, you know? And that breaks my heart because that's why shows like The Chosen and things like that are putting up such incredible numbers, and because they're actually putting time into writing a story that is, and crafting a whole narrative that is full of their own passion towards the Lord, you know? And well, you're talking about how, like, if a high-profile client comes my way and I'll put 90% of my effort towards that and then whatever for another, like, small local church who wants to do it. That's definitely part of what's happening in terms of putting out music, but there's also, like, on the other side, that's really inspiring to me. There's one of the mastering engineers who we were working with for, I've worked with a couple times for like Stephen Hanna's album and stuff. He's mastered for everyone from Christina Aguilera to Elevation Worship, right? And so he's got credits. So he technically doesn't have to do our teeny little project with the same excitement and excellence as he does for Elevation, right? Because we're a teeny tiny audience in comparison, right? So right. He shouldn't have to, but he still takes the time and the absolute effort to do the absolute best he can.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. And he like talks about our record like it's the best thing ever in his emails, and it just makes us all feel so special, and it's amazing.
That's awesome.
So there's both sides of everything, and I feel like I'm talking too negative today, and so I want to...
Well, when you said that, I kind of wanted to double back. When I said 90% and 10%, I meant like, if you had 10% of your time, that doesn't mean you're doing 10% of the effort.
Sure,
like,
yeah, yeah.
If it's a smaller project, it takes 10% of your time, that's fine, but you're going to use 100% of your gift for that 10%.
Gotcha, yeah.
I wasn't talking about like, you know... I'm not going to compress these things. I'm not going to, you know, just a little auto tune. It's, you know, I'm not going to do that, but
I love compressing those things.
I don't know what that word means.
And a little auto tune,
little files.
So with all this, getting at the talents and putting the effort and work into developing that skill, why is that important to you for using that in worship? We've hinted at it and talked a bit about it here or there, but why is that excellence in worship, whether it's on a big stage or a little stage, why is that important?
There are many layers to that. but just on the surface level, before we were recording, we were talking about this book that I have on my lap. It's called The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer.
And fantastic book.
Fantastic book. I am slowly making my way through it. It's a heavy read.
I've read it like 3 times, and every time I read it, it's like it blows my mind. There's something that I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it's changing the way I think about worship and my own art, because it talks so much about how in our own lives and our own thought processes, we have a like fundamental misunderstanding of who God is.
Yeah.
Because he is so above and beyond anything that we could wrap our minds around. And so often in our lives, we try to compartmentalize him into...
Simplify him.
Exactly. And so I just want to read this part that I highlighted. He mentions the psalm, and he's talking about Psalms 50. If you want context, you can read that too. But he says, "A God begotten in the shadows of a fallen heart will quite naturally be no true likeness of the true God." Quote, "Thou thoughtest, said the Lord to the wicked man in the psalm, that I was altogether such as one as thyself." End quote. Surely this must be a serious affront to the Most High God, before whom cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty."
Meaning our thought process brings him down, simplifies him, makes him lower to fit into our understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to join in with the cry of those angels. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That is, and I want my worship to be that. And so I should cultivate my craft to be the absolute best it can be.
Yeah.
Just so it can bring some, I can give something of value to the Lord.
Yeah.
Like what David said, I won't give unto the Lord that which cost me nothing.
Yeah. I love that quote.
Yeah. I don't have a ton of money, so I can't give a large sum, but I can give. He has given me a gift, and I will put in the work to develop that in order so that I can give it back to him.
Yeah. Makes me think, right? Like if you were to play your music just, you know, any day for like one of your buddies, oh, hey, look at this new song I wrote. You're gonna play that different than if you've booked, you know, the Super Bowl halftime show.
Right.
Right. You book that event on that, like you were going to put in so much more effort.
Mm-hmm.
Now you take that from, oh, I'm playing the Super Bowl halftime show to, like you mentioned earlier, I'm playing for the Lord, mm-hmm. God of the universe, who's like, you're going to put in so much more, or you should put in so much more effort, time, and energy to
right.
make it as excellent as
yeah.
you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about the heart. Should you slave away all your work, all your waking hours trying to, you know, make your Sunday set Super Bowl level? Probably not. But should you, like what we talked about earlier, like that space I was in my life, just showing up Sunday after Sunday.
Yeah.
Barely with my parts learned, just because it was part of my daily routine, you know?
Just going, we'll figure it out on stage. We'll get through this.
Typical song. Electric guitarist.
Right. It's a harmful stereotype.
It's rooted in truth.
But, yeah. Yeah. And it's, yeah, this book is blowing my mind.
I suggest any of our listeners, if you haven't read it, or if you haven't read it in a while, you should read Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. Phenomenal book.
Phenomenal.
I need a break before I read it again.
To digest it.
A break before I read it again.
Yeah, it's a hefty read.
Yes.
What did I say hefty three times?
Hefty.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. So I feel like we're definitely talking more about excellence in the church than just worship, right?
Yeah, it's just I view it through that lens because I'm a musician.
Yeah.
And most of my church experience has been from that lens.
Well, and when, so that's another thing, right? When we say worship, everyone thinks
music
and stage.
But exactly, yeah.
Worship isn't just music. Mm-hmm. Worship Correct. Comes through every aspect of your life. And I think true worship actually is you doing whatever it is that you're doing
mm-hmm.
with excellence for the goal of it glorifying the Lord.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I think in and of itself, to make something worship, there has to be a heart of excellence.
Yeah, 100%
behind it.
It's not like I just talk about music because I'm a musician, you know. And in the church, we when we come to worship, we sing songs and lift our hands and all those things. But like you said, yeah, worship is insert medium, do that medium as if unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Right. And do it to the best of your ability. And yeah. even before congregational worship was a big thing, like in the Catholic Church, they would build these massive cathedrals full of mm-hmm. art that they commissioned the best artists of their time to come and fill the Lord's house with the absolute best that they could.
Yeah.
You know? And we see in like the Protestant Reformation and the big schism between the church, the Protestant church kind of discouraged that kind of display of worship as to not be ostentatious or
to not be like gaudy and
right.
over the top.
Which I think there was a part of that. That's why the whole split happened in the first place.
Yeah.
But I think we still are seeing the ripples of that in our own churches locally, like we talked about earlier. Yeah. So it doesn't just need to be singing your song. It can be building a building.
Yeah.
Or accounting or anything. I was listening to... I'm going to plug another podcast on this podcast.
Go ahead. Shout them out.
I was listening to Leland's podcast.
Oh, yeah, we could collab with them.
Yeah,
I think we could fit them in.
I think so, probably. Leland, if you're listening.
If you're listening. Wow, what just happened?
All of our DMs are wide open, so we can let's make it happen.
Sorry, go ahead.
But his podcast, it's called Cathedra. He talks about what the life of an artist in the church within culture is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's changed my life just the way he's bringing perspective and encouragement to that, because being a musician, he talks to musicians, but he also talks about just artists in general and the absolute mm-hmm. necessity that art is in the church because of how much it impacts culture. And yeah. how, as God's creative people, there's so much more of a higher call upon that. And yeah, so I highly encourage, well, both of you guys to listen to that, because I know you're both creative people. And it just gives you purpose in life, and it's incredible.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go check it out.
Well, and then we'll reach out to him and collab with him.
Yeah, of course, of course, of course. Yeah,
for sure. After we gotta wait till after you lead Better Word on Easter.
See how I pulled it off.
You're leading Better Word?
Yeah.
Oh, he's gonna kill
on
it.
Easter.
All right, maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe just like that. Maybe not.
Just like that.
One thing that popped into my head when you were... Oh, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Go.
This is short. I
was going to just do something dumb, so...
Oh, okay. Perfect. One thing that popped into my head when you were talking, or actually you were talking, Zach, and you had said, you know, it's the... You know, it's basically a heart of worship. It's not always music or something like that. In that book that you read through or reading through, Chrissy Nordorf's book, she talks about... like leading worship and writing songs, and how she felt like the Lord pulling her to write songs and other people sing them. And it was something that she was like struggling with, because she's like, I want to lead the songs that I write. And then one day she heard the Lord tell her, when they're leading your song, I hear your voice. And
that's
I was like,
yeah,
it's the heart behind it. If you're doing what you're supposed to with excellence, which she was, then the rest of it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to hit on something that you mentioned earlier that I think is a very important point for why another reason why excellence is important in worship is you mentioned, right, it's a form of evangelism.
Mm.
You know, and you were talking about production, like it looking like concert venue, things like that. But in another aspect, I feel like excellence in our art form is important for evangelism because it brings credibility to it,
mm.
to a non-believer, you know, at least to me. Because I think it's easy for a non-believer to listen to, like, you know, some, like, cheesy, not well done, and not to slam on any artists or say that they didn't put effort into, but people can write off Christian-produced things easily, sometimes saying it's cheesy sure. or under, you know, underskilled, whatever. So when you strive for that excellence, I feel like it brings a little bit more credibility sometimes mm. in certain venues for people to be like, oh, wow, this is awesome. And then that opens a door for them to listen or watch, you know, whatever it is to actually receive the message that you're actually conveying.
Yeah. And like a desire to be like, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think of like that reel again that I saw, and this person was accusing the church of being scripted and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, yes, if you want to do things well, like you practice, you put in time and effort so that it can, you know, public speaking, if you're going to preach and you don't have notes, like that's not, oh, he's faking because he has notes. No, like that's just,
yeah,
it's how to do public speaking. You know, it's not, it doesn't take away from the authenticity. If anything, it means that you are authentic. You have something that you want to share. You know, if I didn't care about playing drums on a Sunday morning and just got in the cage and was like, ah, what song are we? I'm all right. Well, we'll see what happens. I'll just hit the drums a little bit and hope it works. Like, I obviously don't care. You know, I don't know. Does that ring true to anything that you were like thinking of, and as far as excellence and?
Yeah, well, that sums it up pretty well. I do think that you can go, like other Zach was saying, it's got to be the position of your heart.
Yeah,
and that's what God wants anyway. Like even our most incredible songs we can write or sing, if it's not of the heart to please God, then it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
You know? And so we can definitely go too far on the other side of the pendulum of we only do this at the tip top level, and then I think it definitely can become not
performance based
authentic worship. Yeah. But that's all just us sitting in the pews with our arms crossed judging, you know, which
yep.
I'm guilty of myself. I want my attention to be more turned inward rather than outward on seeing if worship teams are doing it out of the right heart, you know?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. if we all come together with the goal of worshiping God and giving him praise, then he is going to fill that space with his presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate goal anyway, because we just want to experience God.
I was mentioning, right, excellence earlier with how it adds, you know, authenticity, credibility, mm-hmm. whatever. At the same token, it doesn't take anything away. Like, you don't have to play like Hendrix to be a good guitarist on a worship team.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I think it brings back to your point, it's the heart, you know, like, because I've played worship music since I was like 14 years old, and a lot of that time I was not a fantastically skilled musician,
mm-hmm.
you know? And there have been sets that I've played that were just rough, real rough. But at the same time, like, the Lord has used it because of the heart of excellence mm-hmm. behind it.
Yeah.
Right? You work towards excellence, whether you're at that skill level or not, I think if you are pursuing it out of the right heart, that's what ends up showing the authenticity or not. Mm-hmm.
100%. Yeah.
I mean, we kind of talked about it last night at, we had like a worship team night last night. And I can't remember his Instagram handle again, the Serbian drummer.
Yeah.
He won Drummer of the Year, YouTube Drummer of the Year 2023.
Oh, with the guy who
lives with the beard.
Yeah. Sibiriano.
Yeah.
And like.
Yeah. And I'm like,
this guy's nuts.
Like, I joke around. I'm like, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to save him and I'm going to bring him back to Redeeming Love. But like, the fact of the matter is, like, people would very likely get so drawn into him playing like that.
Sure.
And then it's a disservice to what we're trying to achieve as a worship team.
100%.
Because one thing, like, our job is to not be noticed the entire set. Our job is to play, and hopefully by, you know, 5-10 minutes in, we're background
we're out of your
noise.
Mind. Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Just don't look at us.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why we up there.
It's also, you can steer this conversation more in just what it is to be a good musician. You know, you can be, what's his name, and have the most nastiest chops in the world. But if you play that on Better Word, are
it's
you...
It's gonna sound so out of
are you a good musician?
Yeah, no.
Probably not. Really.
Yeah. Like, you mean a good musician who's playing poorly.
Yeah, exactly. And same thing all the way around. I played a jazz show the other week. If
sorry,
I showed
I
up,
make it.
Yeah, it's okay. If I showed up and played it like a worship set with tons of delay and verb and overdrive while I'm playing chords with a bunch of dissonance in it, is that going to work? No. That's me being a bad musician.
Yeah.
You know, you need to serve the context in which is
that's
necessary.
Like fantastic that. Point.
Yeah.
Serve
yeah.
the context.
Yeah.
That's my rant over.
I don't know why I'm apologizing for not going. You didn't even invite me. Your father had to invite me. But that's
well, my thing was I haven't played
so
in something like that in a very long time, and I didn't know the venue too well, and I'd feel bad if I invited all my Christian friends to a crappy bar.
I'm just a Christian friend of Ronnie, apparently. That's fine.
You're more than that.
It's fine. No, it's fine. We'll continue on. It's fine.
Our next episode on reconciliation. So, one more question to kind of wrap us up a little bit. What would you say if you could tell a younger you or a younger musician that wants to pursue, you know, either writing worship music, playing worship music, being a worship director, like what would you say to them in that pursuit of excellence and that pursuit of authentic worship to the Lord? What advice would you give them?
I would say, don't worry about the gear. So many, myself, and I know a lot of other like younger musicians are so obsessed with the gear and what pedals to get and what guitars you need and what mics and what interface and all the nitty gritty of the things. And that's important. That's definitely a piece of the puzzle. But I devoted so much of my time and effort to that that could have been spent in other more authentic places of worship and going after God and trying to actually develop a craft rather than spending hours scrolling through forums on what this guy uses on his pedal board for this song, you know?
Yeah.
Do I have this knob at a quarter or do I have it at a half?
Exactly.
Crank it up to 11.
And like, that's a part of just like who I am. And like, I love gear. I love turning the knob from a quarter to an eighth and seeing how that changes the tone. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the whole process. But that isn't the end all at the end of the day. Jamie actually posted something on his story earlier. It was about John Ooh. Mayer. Jamie?
Unfamiliar.
Yeah. He's gone. He's still here with us.
He's not dead.
He's not dead.
Contrary to what was stated earlier in the podcast, He's not deceased. He's still alive and well.
Alive and well.
Alive and so well. But he posted about a video of John Mayer and the paradox of John Mayer. Of he has so many records out with so many tones, and when he goes on his tours, he has massive rigs of, they look like probably one of your servers that you work on, where it's just cables on cables and like a whole rack stack of just his pedal board, right?
Wow.
And so me looking at that, I'm just like, oh my gosh, to sound like John Mayer, I'm never going to be able to be like John Mayer. That's like $50,000 worth of gear right there.
You need 47 pedals.
it's nuts. But then you look at John Mayer, he goes and plays at pub. He has three pedals on his tiny little strip of a pedal board into an old Fender amp, and it still sounds like John Mayer.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what I tell myself. It's not about the gear. The gear is just a tool that you can use in order to...
That's good.
Yeah.
So it's more about the craft.
The craft.
The craft.
Mac and cheese.
Which, I mean, I'm sorry. My homemade is better than craft.
That's probably obvious. Obviously. Well, you got to prove it now.
Oh,
next episode.
It was the best mac and cheese I've ever had in my entire life.
Your entire life.
And look at me. I've eaten some mac and cheese in my day.
I'll be looking forward to sampling for science.
for science. Do you have anything, Zach, that you would say to a younger musician, aspiring worship leader, worship artist?
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, do you want me to share it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. That was just.
Well, because like
I had things I would say. I'm not going to tell you. But
my background is very different than Ronnie's. Like I'm not. Like I'm a good music. I'm a good worshiper. No. Okay. I'm a great worshiper. A good musician, but I'm not right. overtly talented. I'm really not. Like the concept of, you know, scales and music theory and going from point A to point B with a little lick is completely lost on me. But one thing I'm super
good at. You don't need those anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. One thing I'm super good at though is playing what I'm supposed to play and playing it really, 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 really well. Mm-hmm. And then that's like 30% of what I do on the platform. And the other 70% is I'm just up there worshiping. And, you know, now with the mic and music directing stuff, I have to be a little bit more in tune with what's going on around me so I can let other people know what's going on around me. But like, don't, like Ronnie said, don't, you know, pay all attention to the gear. You got to focus on skill, you know. You don't have to be, and I think you said you don't have to be a Hendrix. You have to be good. I mean, being on a worship team is, it's a big deal. It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. You can't have
like, but you,
little Timmy.
Correct.
Cranking out his first few notes in the middle of worship set, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to little Timmy.
Yeah, good. GG, little Timmy. No, but I'd like, don't overthink it. I don't know if that's helpful to anybody, but
it will be.
Probably would be helpful to me.
But I remember
if
like,
you told it to me 10 years ago.
And honestly, I think it was Ronnie's dad that said it to me the first time. Like when I first started making a conscious effort to relax more instead of focusing on playing the right chord at the right time, and you know, I knew I could do it. And like a few weeks after I started doing that, he came up to me after service. He was like, "Man, you look really relaxed up there." I was like, all right, I'm on the right track.
Thanks, Ron.
Yes. Thank you, Ron. What about you? What would you tell little Zach?
I would say practice your skill. Like, don't neglect that. But at the same time, work on the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The heart position, to me, comes first. It's both. Like, because at the same time, if you work on your skill and don't have the heart of worship, then you're just performing.
100%.
But at the same time, like you said, it's a lot of responsibility to be on a worship team because you're responsible for leading people into an atmosphere and a place where they can encounter the Lord.
Yeah.
So if you don't work on the excellence of your instrument, you don't want to be a hindrance or a distraction from them
100%
encountering yep. the Lord. So it's twofold. Like you have to work on your heart position of worship to the Lord, and then you have to work on your craft to be able to use that to help lead people into that place where they encounter and
yeah,
meet the Lord.
I mean, I look back to the last 2 years at Redeeming Love. At this time, 2 years ago, we had a 6 or 7 member worship team. And there were weeks where we'd play without a bassist, without an acoustic guitar, no electric guitar. That was a pipe dream. Yeah. Sometimes we'd play without a drummer. The only instrument I don't think haven't played without in the last 2 years was a keys player.
Yeah.
And it was better to have 4 people on that platform playing well with a proper heart of worship than to have people up there who weren't well-versed in their instrument or skills.
Yeah.
And it's a train wreck because as much as we see, you know, church is a very forgiving place, you know, people are still want to look at a train when there's a wreck. And then your focus is on that and not on where it's supposed to be.
That's a good analogy. And I think like what you were saying about developing, like being more intentional about your heart posture towards it.
Mm-hmm.
I think as you grow closer to God and wanting to bring authentic worship towards him, then that will also create a desire in you to then further your skill.
Yeah.
Right? At least it has for me.
Yeah. I think that goes back to, right, you have the right heart posture, then when you're playing for the king, you want to play well for the king.
Absolutely. Yeah. No phones at my family time. Zach.
Is it time? Am I reading this out? Are we wrapping up?
If you want to.
Any other thoughts?
Sorry, I had an intrusive text that I had to answer. It was from my wife. As much as I like my listeners and you two, I'm going to answer a text from my wife if I think it's important.
That's fair, I guess.
Yeah, you should learn something about
that. I mean,
that.
She is. I don't have a wife, so.
Well, soon enough. Propose right now.
Is that coming out?
Propose
soon?
Right now.
Wait.
Propose right now.
Let the podcast be
propose
there.
Propose right
it,
now.
Do it on air for the podcast.
She just texted me.
Did she?
She did.
What'd she say? Will you marry me?
No. She said, hope podcasting is going well.
Aww. Give her a shout out. Let her know what's going well.
Shout out to Joanna.
Did you have to look at your phone to remember her name?
No, I was
you
looking at
you literally said shout
looking,
out to and lifted up their phone.
I was
like,
looking at
Joanna.
Her picture.
Oh, see? Did you take that picture?
That actually just made it a lot more cute.
I did take that picture.
That's to a good say picture. Her
apologize.
Name,
Ronnie's up. Also a fantastic photographer, by the way.
Thanks.
I'm going to have links to his social medias, his personal social medias. And then, I mean, he does have a website and stuff where you can check out projects he's worked on.
What's that website called?
It's called DevernoProductionCo.com. Nice. You can also just Google my name, Ronnie Deverno.
It does. It's one of the first thing that comes up.
It'll pop up. That's because search engine optimization. I also build websites.
Yeah. But like,
call
what
me.
Don't you do?
A backflip.
How much does it cost you to make our podcast the first thing that pops up on Google when somebody searches podcast? Just
Ooh.
The word. How much work and money does that cost?
That would probably be like, because you just need to train it. So you'll have to like scroll through all the Google menus to find it and then just click on it and then go to another site and then scroll through and click on it. So you just need to probably take me a very long time.
To sit there and get enough clicks to where it's like, okay, when people search this, they like to click
on
this.
They like to click on My Life, Your Life Together. Yeah.
That's all it is.
So, Ronnie, thank you again for coming on.
Thank you.
Again, I encourage everybody to go check out Ronnie's links, his social media, his production company. If you guys want to find out more about him, more about his company, more about the stuff that he's produced, go check it out. He's great. Thank you guys for coming and listening to another episode of the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. If you like what we do, like it, subscribe,
buy merch,
follow, buy some merch.
Buy merch.
It's winter, so go buy yourself a hoodie so you can snuggle up on the couch in it and stay warm. Share our episodes with people that you think it would impact, that would like it. We appreciate everybody that's listening in and to our regular followers who continue to listen to us. We should appreciate you guys, and we will see you guys next time.